Hello, and welcome to There's Hope with Homeopathy. This monthly show airs the third Friday of each month and focuses on classical homeopathic treatment, how it can benefit your entire family, and especially how it can be a curative therapy in the treatment of autism. My name's Amy Lansky, and today's show is going to be airing June 15th, 2007. And as for me, today it's just earlier in June. I'm actually recording the show quite early this month because I think I'm going to be going to Buffalo in the next couple of weeks. My mom, unfortunately, I've talked about my mom before. She is 92 now, is not doing so well, so I'm going to be going to Buffalo to see her. And I'm actually, my whole family is going away for the summer too as well later in June, so... Anyway, I thought I'd be sure and get this show recorded in case I had to leave suddenly. So here I am. You know, homeopathy has so much to offer us, and also older people like my mom, too. I don't know how many times she has taken the remedy Arnica. I think it's a lifesaver for older people. Not only is it a great remedy when people fall or, you know, have bumps and bruises, and those of us who have, you know, elderly parents know that they do have their falls and they can recover so much more quickly with Arnica. But it's even a remedy for some of the ailments that people might confront, like stroke, for example. Arnica is an important remedy. So if you have an older parent, I really recommend that you just, you know, buy a tube of Arnica 30C. You can get it in any health food store, and it's great, you know, for situations like that. I mean, we should all have that. I carry that in my purse all the time in case. Another useful thing can be various creams that people can use. Often they're made from tinctures or extremely low potencies. So, for example, Arnica cream. People can find this very helpful for arthritis on their hands. Also, Ruta cream. I've actually been using this lately, these kind of creams on my shoulder because I had a shoulder injury, and I've been finding it really helpful. You can get Ruta is a remedy for ligament pain. So Ruta cream, or there's creams made with combinations of Arnica and Ruta, etc. So these can be very helpful, and usually since they're not even potentized, or they're like extremely low doses, like 3x, they will not usually interfere at all with your constitutional remedy, although you should discuss it with your homeopath. So just a little tip there. So the summer's upon us. It's kind of cold here still in California. We haven't had weather much above 70 yet, but I know on the East Coast they're having really hot weather. What else is going on in the news? You know, I often recommend people on this list, on this radio show, to check out the Homeopathy for Special Needs Children list. Well, that list has... it's a Yahoo group, has gone offline for the summer, and who knows, perhaps indefinitely, I'm not sure. There's been, unfortunately, a lot of bitter discussions, kind of problems on that list, and it actually points to an issue that has been in homeopathy for a long time, and that is the issue of doctrinarism, even within the realms and the standard parameters of classical homeopathy. There's always controversy over a variety of issues. And I've, you know, the past few shows, today's show is one of a series of three shows about various methods within homeopathy, and also today's show on methods of alternative practice that are related to homeopathy but aren't really homeopathy. There's always controversies. Is this homeopathy? Is that homeopathy? What's proper homeopathy? You know, homeopaths can be a contentious group. Why? Because, you know, the practice of homeopathy is a marginalized one, and always has been since the beginning. And despite its power, you know, there's the outside forces of conventional medicine have always put homeopathy and homeopaths down, and that sort of creates a really kind of a tense atmosphere and also attracts people to homeopathy who are extremely dedicated because they're able to withstand the kind of social pressure, but also sometimes, counterculture or you know, natural people who don't care what other people think or have very strong opinions of their own. And Hahnemann himself, the founder of homeopathy, was a very strong-minded, strong opinionated man who had strong feelings about what was correct and what wasn't. And so this tradition, those views, continues on, and there's lots of different opinions within homeopathy. And I'll be talking about that. You know, there's sort of the basic bare-bones definition. What is homeopathy and what isn't it? But even within, the broad spectrum of classical treatment of homeopathy, there's still controversies. And one of these that was going on this list is what's proper, dosing with dry pills versus dosing in water. And I discussed on my show, I had a whole show, or maybe a couple shows, about dosing and water dosing. So there are very good classical homeopaths that don't do water dosing. These days, most homeopaths use both dry and water dosing, and that is what I'm used to. And there are some who only do water dosing. But still, these are all classical homeopaths who can still argue about this issue, and that became an issue on the homeopathy SNC list. Also, discussion of miasms, and I've discussed this a bit before, that how miasms are essentially disease tendencies or ways of understanding, of categorizing patients into certain sort of broad categories of what their disease tendencies are, and that helps with prescribing because you know that this patient is in this class and so they should get that kind of remedy. There's just been arguments that really are best left among homeopaths, but they kind of bleed it onto this list that's composed of both parents and homeopaths and cause all kinds of, I think, misunderstandings and unnecessary confusion and controversies. And the list broke down, unfortunately, because it's been a great resource for you parents out there. People have written to me, what can I do now to keep learning more about homeopathy? There are some lists out there that you can get access to that are just general homeopathy lists, where mostly homeopaths, but others too, listen in and learn more about homeopathy. One of them is another Yahoo group, homeopathy_open. And then there's another list called, often called the Light Force list. And I think you can access that. I would start with homeopathyhome.com and then through there find this thing. It's called Homeo List, H-O-M-E-O List. I don't have the URL right here with me, but so there are other lists you can tune into if you want to do that. But, people have also been writing to me and going, should I leave my homeopath if they don't use water dosing, etc.? So I just want to reiterate on this show that if you have established a good relationship with your homeopath, and the remedy that they've prescribing is helping you, and the dosing is working for you without undue aggravations, and the homeopath is a classical homeopath, if that's what you choose, and so they're giving you just a single remedy chosen based on the symptoms that you are expressing, then please, continue with your homeopath. It doesn't matter. If the treatment is working really well for you, then there is no reason to leave based on various doctrinaire worries. It's very difficult to be a homeopathic patient. This is one of the reasons I wrote my book, Impossible Cure, because being a homeopathic patient requires you to understand a bit about homeopathy, much more so than you need to understand medicine to go to a conventional doctor. In fact, a conventional doctor doesn't want you to really know about medicine or to, second guess or be informed really about your treatment. But a homeopath, to be a good patient, you really kind of need to know. You need to know, is my progress really coming along as it should? Do I need to give more information to my homeopath? You really need to communicate a lot with your homeopath. So I do recommend that everybody, and I always say this on every show, buy my book. This show is based on my book, Impossible Cure, The Promise of Homeopathy. And reading it will really at least give you an idea of what are the standard parameters of classical practice, what you should expect. And secondly, always, if you have questions, please call your homeopath, talk to them, work with them. If you're unsure, is my case progressing? Ask your homeopath what they think. Do they think your case is progressing? Why do they think it's progressing if you don't? Maybe they'll provide feedback to you. You know, a lot of times patients can't remember what they were like when they first came in for treatment. And sometimes they just need a little feedback to see how far they've come. Or sometimes the homeopath will say, look, you know, I must admit I'm not getting anywhere. I'm kind of stymied. And then, you know, your asking them might prompt them to try something new, to rethink the case, to consult with other homeopaths, or to refer you to a new homeopath. So, you know, always better to discuss with your homeopath. So, and you know, if you are not making progress and you don't feel comfortable with your homeopath, whatever, then maybe you do need to look elsewhere and find a new homeopath. Even possibly if there's no others available to you near you to seek remote treatment. There are homeopaths who treat remotely. I don't recommend it as the first choice, but sometimes it's necessary. So there is always another option. Okay, and there may be situations when homeopathy simply can't help you. I always hesitate to say this because, you know, in my experience, homeopathy can do miraculous things. But there are things that can impede being helped. One is that, let's say you might be doing something which is constantly antidoting or your remedy, or there may be situations in your life that are what we would call maintaining causes, are things that are constantly irritating your situation, and that the remedy just can't break through all that. They may be mental or physical, things about your life that can't be changed or haven't been changed, and that constantly re-aggravate your situation. There may be a layer, something that's happened to you that needs to be addressed with a remedy, that needs to be removed in some way. Sometimes certain remedies must be used to remove the effects of drugging from the past, or, you know, metal poisoning. Sometimes you do need an isopathic remedy to remove the effects of vaccine damage. Some autistic kids need this, some don't, you know. Okay, and so that's why you need to talk to your homeopath about it. Some patients, especially like elderly people, they just don't have, you know, enough vital force left for the vital, you know, their energy body, their vital force doesn't, there's no strength left in it to recover them. There's only a limit to what a remedy can do. It uses your vital force, it rectifies this and strengthens your vital force so that your body can repair itself again. But if you're, you know, dying, perhaps a remedy can help you have a more graceful death and less painful, less fearful death. But, you know, not everybody can be saved. And in the case where there's permanent organ damage, like type 1 diabetes, there is a limit to what a remedy can do. They can't, you know, if your arm has been cut off, it can't regrow your arm for you. But even with type 1 diabetes, I know cases where people have had better function, perhaps less need for insulin. A remedy, the correct remedy, if you find it, will help your body function as best as it can and repair what it can. So finally, in this question of, am I being helped? Do I need to find other treatment? Can homeopathy help me? Follow your heart. Follow your intuition. You know, I do recommend I myself have gotten into meditation in the past few years. Meditate on it. See what your intuition, what your inner self tells you about these questions. I know parents wrestle with this, and often your own heart, your own intuition is the best resource. Okay, before I move on to the content of today's show, I just want to do what I always do and remind you about Impossible Cure, the book, and my website, impossiblecure.com, where you'll find information about autism on the autism page, referral list to homeopaths also on that page. There's the on the home page on the right side, you'll find a link to the annotated archives of this show. And I really recommend people catch up on the show and learn from the past shows, because it's really like a course, this show. Check out the Cure Stories database and please contribute your own. You can find out how to order Impossible Cure, including bulk orders. And always feel free to email me, Lansky@ImpossibleCure.com or alansky@autism1.org, which just gets forward to me anyway. Also, for those of you who are thinking of ordering this summer, I really encourage you to order either from Amazon or minimum price books. Those links are on the website, because, and not order do special orders through Borders or whatever, because I'm going to be gone all summer, and so it's going to be harder to get those books out to the smaller vendors. Like, you know, when you order through Borders, they just call me. I have to do a special sale of the book, because they don't stock my book in any way. So the easiest way for you to order is through Amazon, because they'll order quite a few, and I don't have to worry about it. So thanks for considering that. Or if you want to, you know, order from the homeopathic booksellers, minimum price books always has a big stock of my book. So, okay, let's move on. Today's show, oh, yes, okay. There is not going to be a July show this year. There usually isn't a July show because I'm gone to Canada in the summer. And I'll be back in August, though, and so there will be an August show. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to talk about. I may have another interview, or I may speak about sort of some spiritual kind of elements us parents have to deal with our autistic kids, so I'm thinking about that one. So let's move on to today's show, and I'm going to conclude. Really, I was doing a three-part series on sort of different methodologies of homeopathy. Today's show is like the end of chapter 6 in the book, which is other methods that are related to homeopathy, or practices that are sometimes billed as homeopathy, but really aren't. So let's remember what homeopathy is. Homeopathy is not a catch-all term for natural methods of healing. Although you might view the term naturopathy as that. Naturopaths do learn a little bit of homeopathy and other natural methods such as herbalism, diet, etc. That's what naturopathy is, but homeopathy is a specific, very distinct method of alternative practice, just like acupuncture is. So homeopathy is a specific system of medicine. It is not a diet. It is not the use of herbs. And it isn't even just the use of potentized medicines. It really is it's the whole package, how you use potentized medicines. So once again, I say this, I think I said this in the first show, homeopathy is really defined by the word homeopathy. And the word homeopathy means similar suffering, homeopathy. And it's defined in the loosest way, the most broad definition of homeopathy is defined by the law of similars, which says that if a substance can cause certain symptoms in a healthy person, then that substance can be prepared in such a way that it cures people with those same symptoms. So that means homeopathic treatment means that the substance, a potentized substance, which is, you know, this method of dilution and shaking. That's what potentization is, these highly dilute substances. A single substance is chosen, or a substance is chosen based on the fact that that substance can cause the symptoms that the patient is experiencing. So if a practitioner does not discuss your symptoms with you, how can they know what the correct substance to give you is? So basic homeopathic practices, the practitioner talks to the patient for a very long time, finds out what your symptoms are, and based on that, chooses the substance that's closest to, that can cause those symptoms that you're experiencing. So that's the most broad definition of homeopathy. A classical practitioner will only choose one remedy at a time, will choose the remedy that best matches the symptoms you're experiencing. And of course, there's the use of the potentized dose, this highly dilute dose. So let's move on now to things that are related to homeopathy and people confused with homeopathy, but aren't exactly homeopathy according to this definition. This doesn't mean that people can't be helped by these methods, but they just aren't homeopathy. Okay, and one of the first, and I think this is contentious and it's interesting, I'm talking about doctrinarism. So let me just first say that what I'm talking about now is what I advocate, what this show about is classical homeopathy. And one thing that is not classical homeopathy is the use of machines to select a remedy. So many of you, people go to a practitioner and they think they're receiving homeopathy, but they're not receiving homeopathy according to how I understand it, how it's described in my book, Classical Homeopathy. And that is, if your practitioner, you come in and they have you hold on to a rod or a machine or take your hair or some part of you, and then they put that into a machine of some kind, and the machine says, oh, you need remedy 532. This is not homeopathy as I understand it. So supposedly the way these machines work, and I have no idea how they work or what they're doing, they can detect your energy, or they somehow measure your energy, and that energy is matched onto something in the machine, some database that selects which quote-unquote remedy is given to you. So the question is, what is going on here? What are the substances that the machine is telling you to take? Now, sometimes they're actual remedies from the homeopathic, you know, pharmacopoeia. They're actual remedies, but sometimes they're not. They're just some pre-chosen combinations with given a number, and even the quote unquote homeopath, the practitioner doesn't know what's in them. They're just these little numbered bottles. Okay, so. And sometimes, who knows how these things are made? Are they made from actual substances, like using the standard method of creating homeopathic remedies, where some substance like a plant is serially diluted and shaken? Or are they made using these other things called radionic machines, where a substance is sort of placed on some in the center of some machine, and I don't know. I have no idea how these things are made. But radionic, or these certain kinds of remedies that are made by placing the substance on a little plate, and somehow the water is made, you know, attuned to the substance. These are not legal homeopathic remedies according to the homeopathic pharmacopoeia of the United States. There's a legal definition of what a homeopathic remedy is, and it has to be made from the actual substance. And so just that you should know that radionic remedies, while they may have effects, they may work, are not legal homeopathic remedies. Anyway, so the question is, the practitioners who use these machines, maybe these machines can do something, maybe they can't. But I have no idea what they're doing. But it is not homeopathy based on the definition of homeopathy, because The practitioner is not figuring out what your symptoms are and not choosing the remedy based on those symptoms. So I hope people understand that. That's why I discuss this, so that they know about this. Now, I do think people who go to these practitioners do get some results, but in my understanding and from what I've heard, that the results are often much more short-lived and weak. They're just not as deep as true homeopathy can achieve. And in some ways, the fact that they're short-lived and superficial is a sign that they may be operating as a kind of placebo effect, because that is the nature of placebo effects, short-lived, not deep. Who knows? Now, I have a quote of my book from actually this woman who was seeing a practitioner of this type. And later, she finally sought out classical homeopathic treatment and really saw this profound difference, and then went on, she herself, to become a classical homeopath. And she writes, she said in this quote, "The first homeopath I saw did this kind of treatment, so I'm very familiar with it. The clinic I went to was staffed with MDs, and they had a waiting list, and they did get results. But the question I would put to you is the question I did not get a good answer for until I saw a classical homeopath. Is this treatment healing the problem, or is it just band-aiding the symptoms? I used this treatment for over 3 years, making many expensive trips out of state, because the treatments just patched me up. They never took care of the underlying imbalances that were really making me sick. I was a very vocal defender of this type of treatment because I got results at a time when nothing else was available. But then I experienced classical homeopathy, meaning taking one remedy at a time, the remedy chosen after an extensive interview with a homeopath. With classical homeopathy, I've experienced health in the form of freedom and flexibility beyond anything I could have imagined. I am comfortable in my own skin. I look very different and feel very different on the physical level and on the mental emotion level. The gift and challenge of homeopathy is that even very bad homeopathy gets results of some type. And if a person has been quite sick with little or no help from the conventional docs, even some results are better than none. Like she says, people do get results. But the question is, what are these results? Are they placebo? And even if they're not placebo, the remedies or whatever the substances are chosen may be only treating the problem superficially. So now let's distinguish that, these use of just machines. With some practitioners, might do a full interview, might narrow down the choice of your remedy to, let's say, 3, 4, 5 remedies, and then they might use other techniques to make their final decision of a remedy or even a potency, and that is use applied kinesiology, or even the use of a pendulum, etc. Now, personally, I prefer to use the thought process to decide, use the brain as the instrument to decide what remedy to give. But, these techniques may work. They may tap into the intuition of the practitioner. And I would still, if your practitioner's into this and it works for them, just fine, because at least they're choosing a single remedy based on your symptoms to choose which remedy to give to you. There are mysterious things in this universe, and homeopathy is one of them. God knows I know that, and I think that homeopathy works on sort of this quantum subtle level, and strange things do happen at that level. That's why these machines are probably working. They are tapping into something. I don't know what it is, but they are tapping into something. At the quantum level, thoughts have effects. That's why radionic remedies may be real things. Maybe something is happening at the quantum level in the creation of those remedies. But even the quantum effects are much more fleeting than things at a coarser level. That's why I believe remedies made from the actual substance have more definite, long-lasting effects. They're operating in this realm, not the quantum realm. at some level, much more so. Anyway, but like I've heard of things that are just so mysterious. Like, for example, I've talked about how homeopathic remedies are initially tested in these provings. Usually, homeopaths undergo these trials to discover the properties of new remedies. And you know, I've heard more than one story about the moment that somebody has decided, made the intention to enter into a proving trial. Let's say, okay, I have agreed to go into this proving a month from now. They have no idea what the substance is. They haven't met any of the other people who are going to be in the drug trial. And yet, from the moment they made the intention to join the drug trial, like let's say a month hence, they start getting symptoms that prove to be the actual symptoms from this, from the future drug trial. It's like the intention has already put them into the state of the drug trial. They don't even know, they haven't even gone to be part of this drug trial yet, and still they're starting to get the symptoms. And that is the nature of quantum effects. You know, things can act in this way. So who knows, you know, pendulums and applied kinesiology and intuition and even these machines and radionic remedies, they may all work. And, you know, there's another concept, paper remedies, you know. Let's say you don't have access to a remedy. You're in the middle of the desert and you don't have, you know, your remedy kits with you. I have heard stories of people taking a glass of water, writing on a piece of paper, like the name of the remedy, like Arnica, putting the piece of the glass of water on top of the piece of paper and let it sit there, and then drink the water and claim that it has some effect. Who knows? It might be the power of suggestion on your part. Maybe real. Maybe your intention. I don't know. But, you know, in a pinch, why not try it? But life is mysterious. Nevertheless, given the choice, I would rather have remedies made from substances applied using standard classical homeopathic reasoning methods, the interview, the selection of the remedy. These are methods that are tried and true, and we know that work. Speaking of water and the mysteries of this, just a little side note that I really encourage all of you to go to the National Center for Homeopathy website, which is nationalcenterforhomeopathy.org. Right now, on the left-hand side in the green area, they'll say, it says new, and that's this new result, amazing. A new paper is coming out written by a very famous material science professor, Rustam Roy from Penn State, and he is one of the world's experts on material science dealing with water. And they've come out with a new result that is landmark. Landmark for, really, for homeopathy for sure, but for, you know, medicine in general. And they have found that using several different measures in material science, that the structure of water of different remedies, they tested, of course, plain water, structured water, you know, dilutions made from several different remedies and also in several different potencies. And they found consistent and distinct patterns of structure that are like distinct patterns that are different for each remedy and different potencies of each remedy. What this means is that there's definitive proof now from very serious, respected material science people that these ultra dilutions are not plain water. They're highly distinguishable, have characteristic signatures. And what's great is that for the homeopathic pharmacies, using these techniques, we can actually test, are the remedies they make, you know, correct? We can actually test them now and using these techniques. You know, are the potencies correct? Are the remedies correct? Now, so this is just a very preliminary result. They didn't test every remedy, you know, in the Materia Medica, just a few different ones and different potencies. But it's so promising. It's so significant. The National Center for Homeopathy had a webcast. They invited about, 80 different people from different prominent universities all over the United States to listen into this webcast where Professor Roy described the result, and it's just so exciting. I was listening in on that, so it's a major result for homeopathy. Anyway, let's move on now to some other techniques. These will be very quick. The first one is Bach flower remedies. Now, I know on the Bach flower remedy bottles, and many of you have used, I myself use a rescue remedy, which is one of the Bach flower remedies. It says homeopathic on it, but these are not prepared using the same techniques of homeopathic preparation, as I understand it. Instead, these remedies are more like tinctures of certain flowers. They are diluted, but they're prepared, I think, by floating flowers in alcohol or water, I'm not sure what, in the sunlight. So it's not made using the same method of serial dilution and succussion. Now, the whole system of Bach flower remedies is a very valid system. It was devised by a doctor, Edward Bach, who was a British doctor in the early 1900s. And he, in fact, was a homeopath for a period. He worked at the London Homeopathic Hospital, and he developed some important classes of actual homeopathic remedies. But at some point, around 1930, he decided to develop these Bach flower remedies. And he sort of had this psychic connection with plants, and he selected certain plants that he felt had certain specific healing effects. So the various Bach flower remedies were not proven as homeopathic remedies. They were selected based on Bach's intuition about their healing effects, and they're often used for emotional healing. So it's a very specific system. It's its own system of healing. They're very low doses and therefore don't usually interfere with homeopathic treatment. I myself have recommended and take myself, let's say, rescue remedy when I'm under severe stress. For example, when my mom's in the hospital or things like that. And they're helpful, very helpful, but they're not homeopathy. So I just want to clarify that. Okay. The same thing goes for anthroposophic remedies. This is another completely different system. These were developed by Rudolf Steiner, who lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Steiner's ideas were the basis of the Waldorf schools. Many of you might be familiar with that. And Steiner also developed his own system of medicine, these anthroposophic remedies. Now, as I understand it, in this case, these remedies are prepared using a process similar to homeopathic potentization, but the substances that are used are not proven in the same way as homeopathic provings and homeopathic remedies, and they're not selected based on the similarity of symptoms, so they're based on Steiner's intuition. So once again, this is not homeopathy. Finally, herbalism. You know, the thing that's most confused with homeopathy is herbalism, which is the use of plant tinctures to treat disease. So how is homeopathy different from herbalism? Well, homeopathy does use plants, but it uses every kind of substance to create remedies, minerals, animal substances, and disease substances as well. So homeopathy does not just use plants. Second of all, herbal remedies are tinctures. They're, actual physical substance of the plant. Remedies are these very highly dilute, potentized substances. And finally, when an herbalist chooses what tincture to give to you, it's based on certain folkloric knowledge about what's good for what, not based on the law of similars. Now, in some cases, the plant that's used by an herbalist, sometimes the same plants are used. So, for example, there's a homeopathic remedy called Hypericum. And this is made from the plant St. John's wort. Now, many people know that herbalists tend to use St. John's wort for depression. That's something that's used. But in homeopathy, The remedy Hypericum, also made from St. John's wort, is not a very common remedy used for depression. Depression is not considered a major symptom of this remedy. It is, however, a neurological remedy that's used very commonly for sharp nerve pains. Like, for example, if you go to the dentist and you have those after effects from the shot, like these shooting nerve pains in your jaw, Hypericum is a typical remedy for that. So it's neurological, just like depression might be neurological, but it's a totally different use of the same plant. Sometimes the plants, the substances are used for the same things. For example, in herbalism, black cohosh, which is snake root, is often used for menopausal symptoms. And in homeopathy, this remedy is called, you know, homeopathic remedies are usually called by their Latin names. In this case, it's Cimicifuga, C-I-M-I-C-I-F-U-G-A. And this is an important remedy for menopause in homeopathy as well. Often associated with lots of mental symptoms, this feeling like a dark cloud is descending upon you, and various menopausal symptoms. So, and there's a case where the same substance is used by herbalists and by homeopaths, but like in homeopathy, the remedy chosen will be based on the specific symptoms of the patient. So there's several different common remedies used in menopause for menopausal symptoms, and this is just one of them. Depends on what your particular symptoms are. So that's a distinction between herbalism and homeopathy. Really very different systems. Herbalism's a very valid system, but I would recommend you see a practitioner, not just start treating yourself, because all these things have real effects, and all of these different systems may interfere with a homeopathic remedy. If you're using them, you should tell the homeopath what you're doing or ask them if they think it's going to interfere with your treatment. Finally, I do talk in, the final thing is other methods of energy healing. Homeopathy I do view as a energy healing practice. It's working not in a chemical way on the physical body. It's working in this more energetic way on the vital force. And other practices do that as well. That includes hands-on techniques like Reiki, the Barbara Brennan healing system, quantum touch, healing touch, and also acupuncture is considered an energy healing system. And all of these are valid healing systems that also work with the vital force, the energy body, the chi. These all the same thing. And some of them may work well with homeopathy and some may not. In any case, let your homeopath know what you're doing, what are the other treatments you're seeking. In my personal experience, more passive hands-on healing techniques like Reiki do not interfere with homeopathic treatment, and in fact may actually enhance homeopathic treatment. Others may or may not, so you don't want your various practitioners working against each other. You want them working together. So discuss this with your homeopath or with your other practitioners. Just let them know. Maybe they can work together. And so so these are all different systems of energy healing. Anyway, I'm out of time. I've gone over as always. So just want to wrap it up. Just remind you to check out the ImpossibleCure.com website. Also, the website for the National Center for Homeopathy, nationalcenterforhomeopathy.org. And remember, have a great summer. Be well. And remember, there really is hope with homeopathy.